Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much. So as Derek said, my name's Keziah, and I'm on staff here with Chi Alpha. If we'd never met, I'd absolutely love to meet you after service. And if this is your first time to Chi Alpha, welcome. If this is your 100th time, welcome again. I'm so happy that you're here. If you guys would have told me my freshman year that one day I would be working for Chi Alpha and preaching up here, I would have been like, nope, that is not happening. I was in your seat not too long ago, actually, and I graduated college from UNI in 2019. I got plugged into Chi Alpha pretty quickly, thanks to Aaron. He gave me a little card to invite me to the Welcome Back Barbecue, which back then, that was hamburgers and hot dogs. Now it's known as the Chick-fil-A Party, which is much cooler. So when I was at UNI, I majored in social work and mental health, and I also studied addictions. I absolutely loved it. UNI is awesome. I also met the absolute love of my life and best friend, Forrest, if you want to wave. Yes. So people around here are always like, oh, you just came to Chi Alpha because you met Forrest. He's so cute and all that. And you know what? I will tell you, I did come to Chi Alpha for Jesus, but I also stayed for Forrest too. So yes, there you go. If you haven't already heard too, we're expecting our first little baby girl in September. Yes. We are beyond excited for that. But anyway, I could talk about Forrest and our little baby for forever, but tonight we have much more important things to talk about, such as how weird I was as a child. So growing up, I was really weird, you guys, okay? And if you've talked with me, honestly, even for 5 minutes, you'd probably recognize that I'm still a little bit weird sometimes, but you know what? We all are. It's okay. So for example, when I was younger, around 11 years old, I became absolutely obsessed with chickens, like bad. Like I loved chickens so much. I wanted to have one as one of my pets, not just like for the eggs or anything. So being the youngest angel child that I am, I eventually convinced my parents to get me chickens. So let me just show you guys a few pictures of me with my chickens. Yes, so that's the first one. I think I'm about 11 in this. So yep, that's the first one. And then go ahead to the next. Yes, so these chickens, they were very tame. Like they loved me. They would fall asleep on me. They were amazing. So obviously, very weird. That's just a small glimpse into a little bit of what shaped me for who I am today. I'm the youngest of 5 siblings, which means I always wanted to grow up and be older. And I had a lot of people to look up to. One particular person that I looked up to was my dad. My dad has always been obsessed with cars. In fact, for a while, he even sold cars. I remember growing up, he would sit on our dining room table, and he would just spend hours putting together these little model cars. They came with hundreds of pieces, so you would glue them together, and then eventually they would make a little tiny car. I wanted to be just like my dad. So one day, I asked him, "Can you take me to Hobby Lobby, get me a model car for me to put together?" So eventually, I was in the same place as him, making a little model car just like him. I was so proud to be even just a little bit like my dad. Fast forward a few years later, my dad fulfilled an absolute dream that he had, probably for years, that my mom would not let him do. So he eventually convinced my mom to let him trade in his normal, everyday car, you know, just like we have, and he traded in for a newer 1962 Rambler Classic. So I'll go ahead and show you guys what that looks like. All right, so that's me in my awkward stage. As you can see, my pants literally match the car. I don't know. Anyway, so as you can see, I've always had amazing style. It's great. So there you go, guys. That's just a little glimpse into what I was like as a kid. And I had some pretty strange interests, but in this instance, when it came to liking cars, I really just wanted to be like my dad. We all kind of want to be someone, don't we? Maybe growing up, you had someone that you really looked up to, just like me. Or maybe right now, you look around the room and you see certain people and you think, I want to be just like them. Maybe you have trouble truly knowing who you are or who you want to become. If you're here, you're either in college or you're college age. So these are some of the most pivotal times in your life in so many ways. You're exploring your career, making friends, making so many mistakes, and maybe you're even falling in love. We're told right out of high school to decide basically who we want to be for the rest of our adult lives. And often we can get so consumed or even identify with the work that we end up doing. So what if there was something more? When we think about humanity from the lens of science or biology, we're often thought of or just described as a bunch of random molecules or just a bunch of things like smashed together or something. Some think we all just randomly came to be, but if that's all, then what's the point of living? If we're all just a random blip in existence or atoms stuck together, what's the point? What if we were actually created for something more? What if we were more than just a random blip in existence? Last week, Derek kicked off our final sermon series, Ready for More, where we're learning the different ways that we can be ready as Jesus followers to be better examples of him and spread his love to others. The title for tonight's sermon is More Image Bearers. We're going to dive into what it means to be an image bearer of Christ and how to reflect him well. But before we do that, let me pray. Dear God, thank you so much for tonight. God, thank you for this opportunity that we get to come together. Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me, have this be your words, God, and just help everyone to experience you tonight. We just pray all this in your name. Amen. So, what does it mean to be an image bearer? To put it simply, an image bearer is someone who reflects someone or something else. We're all unique individuals, and we all have things that make us our individual selves. As for me, I'm freakishly tall. Great. yet, there's something so much deeper than just our appearance that unites us all together. And that is that we were all created in the image of God. We can see that all throughout history in the world, in different times and different places, our humanity inherently connects us to our creator, God. Humans are much more advanced than the rest of creation, leading us to the idea that we are set apart for something more. The concept of being an image bearer can be seen in the book of Genesis and comes from the idea of the Imago Dei. Imago Dei comes from the Latin version of the Bible, which translates to English, image of God. We as humans are an image of God and reflect his character. This is our purpose, to be an image of God, to be the Imago Dei. The first passage we are looking at tonight is Genesis 1:26 through 27. That's the very first book of the Bible. In the beginning, it shares all about the creation story, how God created the earth and everything on it, and it gives us even more evidence that none of us were just a mistake. Let's read. Genesis 1:26 through 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So from the very beginning, it was always God's intention to create us to be in his image, to be like him. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit have all been together way before the world began. This is why when you look at this scripture here, it says our image, our likeness. Not because there are multiple gods, but we as Christians worship one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. This is known as the Trinity. Now, I will not dive too much into the Trinity today because that could be really long. But if you have any questions about how God can be three in one, just ask Victor. He'll help you. So Genesis makes it clear that we're an image bearer of God. Like I said earlier, an image bearer is someone who reflects someone or something else. So to be an image bearer for God means that we reflect the character and attributes of God. God put himself in each and every one of us, and we are his reflection. God shows himself through us. This means we get to show the world what God is like as we reflect his image to others. However, in order to reflect his image, we must truly know who he is. If we're going to represent him, we need to know what he's like. Luckily for us, a passage in Exodus 34 shows us exactly what God's image is like. So to explain a little bit about what's going on in this passage before we dive in, we understand that in the Old Testament, God has a chosen people known as the Israelites, and he invited them into a special relationship with him. through this partnership, they were supposed to live the way that God designed them to. And in order, if they did that, they would get to be the people of God. The Israelites eventually agree to this partnership, so God gives them the first commandments that they are to follow. These commandments are, do not give allegiance to any other god, and do not worship idols. They're only to worship him. Seems pretty simple, right? As Moses was on the mountain writing down these very commandments, he eventually makes his way back down to see the Israelites literally violating these first two commandments. He came down to this mountain to the people literally worshiping a golden calf, exactly what God told them not to do. These people literally had one job and they failed. Like, okay, they saw, these are the same people that saw God split the Red Sea open, okay? God literally fed them bread from the sky and water from a rock, yet they still could not listen to him. So after God sees his followers breaking the first two commandments he gave them, this is what he says. Exodus 34, 6 through 7 reads, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" So if we go back, look at this verse, you can see the first few verses show you his character, who he really is. He's merciful, he's gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. Even when God's people were disobeying him, he was still loving towards them. But then it goes on. "But by no means will he excuse the guilty. And he lays the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected." So this feels a little bit like contradictory, right? Okay, well, let me explain. Before I had read through the whole Old Testament, like verses like this just didn't make sense to me. I saw Jesus in the New Testament as God who had came to earth. He was super chill, loving to others, all that. But then I started to read the Old Testament in much larger chunks, okay? And I really started to realize how annoying God's people really were. There are countless stories, even from Genesis to this story in Exodus, that exhibit this very concept. It's a perfect example. It gave me so much more understanding as to why God responded to his people the way he did at times. They kind of deserved it, honestly. I don't know about you guys, but if I was Moses at the time, I came down that mountain and I saw them like already disobeying God, I would have been like, cut the show, I'm done. God, choose someone else, please. So really reflecting on the whole story of the Bible, I now understand that God's loyal love does not contradict his justice. So we've cleared the air. We recognize how God had every right to literally quit on these people. But let's break down his attributes now and see how we can become his image bearers in this way. The first attribute that we see is compassion. Our God is compassionate. Image bearers are compassionate. God is filled with loving sympathy for his children. He hates to see when we're hurting. Google's definition of compassion is sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. How beautiful is that? God sees us even in our darkest moments and shows deep concern for us. To carry this attribute and become an image bearer in this way, this means we must have a softened heart for others and their sufferings. Someone who's compassionate like Jesus will be motivated to want to relieve another's suffering when confronted with a situation. They will want to sit with that person in that pain. Have you ever gone through something really, really hard, and then you had a friend just sit there with you and let you cry with them? That is compassion. That is a reflection of who Jesus is. Some of you may be sitting here and you're thinking, all right, Keziah, I know you cry all the time. Like, I see it, but you know what? That's not me. And I totally get that. We're not all criers, but I do want to challenge you. When you're faced with a situation when your friend or even a stranger is going through something hard, what do you usually do? Do you kind of brush it off because those feelings are a little bit awkward for you? Or maybe you're so consumed with your own problems and issues that you feel like you just don't have the time or space to give this person attention. The thing is, you don't have to fix this person's problems. You don't even have to offer a solution. You can just sit there with them in that mess. Pray for them, offer encouragement, but most of all, just show up for them. So the next time you have a situation come up, be sacrificial. Offer that person your time and attention. Along with being compassionate with others, God also shares about his quality about being merciful. We serve a God who is full of mercy. Image bearers are full of mercy. Exodus 34 says, "The Lord, the God of compassion and mercy." Mercy is showing compassion or forgiveness towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. When reflecting on who God is, it is not hard to see that mercy is written all over his heart. Mercy is literally what makes the entire gospel story. Every single day we sin and fall short, yet God chooses to extend his forgiveness towards us, even though he has every single right to punish us. Mercy is such a powerful thing to experience firsthand, not only through the demonstration that God shows us through relationship with him, but also in our relationships with others. When it comes to our relationships with others, either romantic or just a friendship, you guys know we all make mistakes. If you've ever hurt somebody that you love, you know how it feels to sit with what you've done. I often can feel so icky if I have unresolved conflict with someone or if I know that I hurt their feelings. There have been so many times in my marriage and my friendships that I've fallen short. But I'm so thankful that through these close relationships, I get to experience just a little bit of the glimpse of the mercy of God. When my loved ones forgive me for something that I have done to hurt them, I get to see how God feels about me as well. The freedom that we get to experience doesn't just come from experiencing mercy from others, but it also comes from extending that mercy to others. So, did you guys know that when you're bitter at someone, that's literally only affecting you? Like, that's not hurting them. They're just living their life. Your lack of ability to forgive someone is only affecting you and your relationship with God. Forgiveness is such a vital part of being an image bearer of Jesus. If you struggle to forgive others when they wrong you, I want to challenge you to humble yourself and think about the mercy that God extends to you every single day. None of us deserve forgiveness, but we get the opportunity to exhibit mercy just as Jesus did for us. Ask God to help you see others the way that he sees them. Ask him to soften your heart. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you." So I can tell you guys firsthand that forgiving others when they've deeply wronged you is really hard. In high school, I was involved in a really toxic relationship where, long story short, that relationship ended because I found out he was cheating on me with one of my friends. Ouch, that stung bad. And I would say right now that that was probably one of the hardest things that I had to forgive someone for. When this relationship ended, I was really far from God. And so this made the process even harder. At the time, when this relationship ended, as time had gone on, I started to prioritize Jesus more. And as he was shaping me, I really felt my heart start to soften over the months. Even though it felt like I was like a victim to this person's betrayal, I slowly started to see him the way that Jesus did. That he was just another broken person, just like me, who needed the mercy and grace of Jesus. So slowly but surely, I offered him the same mercy that Jesus offers me every single day. I'm not going to say that forgiveness is easy, because obviously we're not Jesus. We're never going to be perfect at it. But the more and more that we can become like him in this way, the more we'll become better image bearers and witnesses for his love. The easiest way that we can learn to show mercies for others is to remember the mercy that God has shown us. So the next time that somebody hurts you, think about all the times that God has shown you mercy in your life. Maybe even write these down. Choose to have a soft heart, even in situations where all you want to do is boil in your bitterness. Fight your flesh. Choose forgiveness. We want to do this because they are also a reflection of God as well. They're an image bearer too. So we should love them just as Jesus does. God doesn't just stop there. He also goes on to share that he is a God who is slow to anger. We serve a God that's slow to anger. Image bearers are slow to anger. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this is the one that stretches me a little bit. I would not consider myself to be like an angry person, but if you spent any time with me, you know that I'm pretty passionate about a lot of things. In fact, I'm passionate about a lot of things that really do not matter at the end of the day. Honestly, name any subject, I probably have an opinion about it. Except for if it has anything to do with math, I'm out. You win. Something in me makes me think that I am supposed to have like this deep conviction about everything that I believe. I've joked with my friends before that I will pretty much die on any hill. Like, it does not matter. And I'm not afraid to share my opinion. So I'll be mid-conversation with someone and I'll be like, hold on. Why am I so rigid? Like, God, please help me. Guess what? Something that I have learned is that you don't have to express every opinion that you have. You don't always have to be correct, and you don't always have to correct others, even if you think they're wrong. You are not entitled to your opinion being shared 24/7. I'm sorry. Now, don't get me wrong. Being passionate about things is not bad. Having opinions about things is not bad either. But honestly, my tone is really what bites me in the butt. Just ask Forrest. This is just one small outlet of maybe some things that you're struggling with tonight. You have a short fuse. Maybe it has to do with how you grew up, your family dynamics, or how anger was expressed in your household. I want you to know that the feeling of anger is not sinful in itself, as God even got angry sometimes. But what matters is how we deal with this anger. Of all people, God has every right to be incredibly angry at humanity. Yet, he has chosen to show us his love and abounding grace time and time again. So, for example, yelling at people is not loving. Flipping people off in traffic is not loving. A great way to stop doing this is to put a Scent Church bumper sticker on the back. And then maybe you'll feel a little bit of conviction. And I'm not speaking from experience, guys, okay? So one practical way that you can grow in being slow to anger is inviting others to correct you or call you out when you're expressing your anger in an unhealthy way or maybe coming off a little bit too strong. Another thing you can try is journaling your angry emotions to God. He wants to hear from you, even in your angry state. The way that you can still express your anger, but you're not taking it out this way, you can express your anger, but you're not taking it out on somebody else. So when we're able to face a situation that might stir up anger, yet we choose kind words and a soft heart, it goes such a long way as a follower of Jesus. We want to be gentle to others, using wisdom to understand what to say and when to say it. Always stand up for right. Always stand up for what's right, but do it in a way that honors God. The final attribute of God that I want to talk about tonight is his unfailing love. God is so full of unfailing love. Image bearers love others. I think that this attribute is one of the last ones that he mentions because it almost encompasses them all. So you cannot be compassionate without love. You cannot be merciful without love. You cannot be slow to anger without love. All of these things lead back to God's love and his love for his image bearers. He helps us become more like him through his love. When I was thinking and praying about what to share tonight, I just kept coming back over and over to God's love. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." We must see that at the end of the day, we have nothing to offer others or God if we do not exemplify his love. We have to be checking our hearts constantly and asking ourselves, why we're doing what we're doing. When we fully step into a relationship with God, we can't help but become more like our Creator. The more time you spend with someone, the more you're going to become like them. So, we've learned tonight that I'm an image bearer, and you are an image bearer. So, theoretically, doesn't that mean that everybody else in your life is too? So, that guy that broke my heart, that cheated on me with my friend, he's an image bearer. That professor that you really don't like, that you complain about all the time to your friends, they're an image bearer too. The girl next to you in class who only texts you when she needs help on her assignment, image bearer. That friend who treated you poorly, who stabbed you in the back, they're an image bearer. When you're driving down university, that homeless guy who's holding a cardboard sign that has nothing to his name, image bearer. That girl who's walking around in clothes that you think, oh my gosh, how could she ever be showing that much skin? She's an image bearer. That guy who's living a completely different lifestyle than you, image bearer. That person who fights for everything that you stand against, they're an image bearer too. That girl that you just ignore, that you don't click with, image bearer. Your leader who calls you higher when you make mistakes and prays for you more than you know, they're an image bearer. People are not just objects that you get to choose whether you will show love towards or not. Other people are not less important than you. You are not better than anyone else. Every single person on the planet was created as an image bearer, just like you. So the next time you feel like brushing somebody off that isn't like you, or you rather just have nothing to do with them, you're absolutely not honoring God and you're not showing them Jesus. Matthew 25:40 says, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me.'" Jesus is saying, whatever you do to the least of these, you do that to me. When you're brushing somebody off, when you're not forgiving someone, you're not being compassionate, you're not showing mercy, you are doing this to God. I want that to sink in. The way that you treat others is the way that you treat God. Every single person that you see in this room and out, they are an image bearer. We show them compassion, mercy. We're slow to anger. We're abounding in love for them. Do you really want to be the person that's known for just really not caring about anybody else? Do you want to be known for something so much deeper and richer than yourself? I don't want you to get to the end of your life and regret the ways that you poorly represented God. I want you to become who God has created and called you to be. I want you to see others the way that Jesus sees you. We're not only loving to people because God wants us to be, we're loving to others because that is how God is to us. God has been so gracious to me my whole life. I grew up in church. In fact, I was a pastor's kid. I knew all of the right things to do, all the things to do and don't do as a Christian. But when I got into this relationship that I was talking about earlier, I put my relationship with Jesus completely to the side. I was so consumed in pleasing my ex-boyfriend that I made decisions that I completely regret to this day. We fell deep into sexual sin, and I did not honor God in that relationship. Despite any mistakes that my ex had made, I was making mistakes too. I am exactly like the Israelites. I need mercy just like them. I knew exactly what God had asked me to do, yet time and time again, I disobeyed him. It wasn't until I fell on my face and realized how far I was from God that I truly turned towards him and begged him for his mercy. We're designed to reflect God, but we come up short. We all mess up. Someone had to make this right for us. Someone had to be a perfect representation of God. That someone is Jesus. Jesus was the only perfect image bearer of God. We're so lucky to get to have this relationship with our Creator, We have a God who created the earth, called us by name before we were even born, yet he came down to earth to live a human life just like us. God sent his son Jesus to make up for the fact that we could never live a perfect life, and then he died for us. We now get to live in the freedom and grace of having a relationship with him. If we would just call on his name, surrender our life, and turn away from our sinful ways. The main idea for tonight is that image bearers are known for their love towards others. Image bearers are known for their love towards others. The only way that God will do more through us is if we reflect his image to the world around us. We'll only be able to see revival on our campus and through our community only if we can love people the way that our God loves us. If we're not good representations of Jesus, our message is not going to carry any weight. Our actions and the way that we treat others are so much more valuable than the empty words that we have to offer. Your love for others is the identifying mark as a believer of Christ, and it's the true sign of the extent to which you are bearing God's image. Of all creation, we are the only living thing that has the opportunity to be in relationship with God. God wants to do more through you than you could ever know. The only way that God can truly move through you is if you completely surrender to him and work hard to reflect his image towards others. You might be here tonight and you're new. You've never given your life to God. Or maybe you've been coming for a while, but you've been holding back. You haven't taken the leap yet to dedicate your life to the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to respond here in just a moment. So if everyone could stand with me, we're going to respond. So if everybody could bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, but you'd like to in this moment, I want to give you the chance to do that. So be bold, raise your hand. No one's looking around, it's just you and Jesus. Is there anyone here tonight that would like to give their life to the Lord? Let me pray with you. God, thank you so much for your loving mercy. God, thank you for these new brothers and sisters that want to walk with you, God. They want to give you their lives. They want to honor you. Lord, I pray that you would just meet them exactly where they're at, God. Forgive them for the ways that they haven't honored you, God, or the sins that they've struggled with. God, I just pray that you would meet them here right now. Give them fresh perspective. God, thank you so much for these new brothers and sisters. We pray all this in your name. Amen. You guys can go ahead and open your eyes now. I have a second way that we can respond tonight. Odds are the rest of you are here and you realize you maybe haven't been representing Jesus in the way that you want to. You haven't been showing mercy. You haven't been compassionate. You haven't been slow to anger. Maybe you realize you're not seeing others the way that Jesus sees them. Or you've struggled to show compassion to the least of these and haven't displayed Jesus with your actions. If you're here tonight and you want God to help you become a better image bearer for him, if you want to have him fill you with mercy, love, compassion, go ahead and just put your hands right in front of you like this. I want you to be ready to receive from Jesus the overflowing love that he has for you. Let that compel you to be a better image of him. Let that compel you to show more mercy, more compassion, more love. Be slow to anger. Take a chance. Let God shape your heart, soften it. If it's hard, now is your time to let him just invade it. Just open your hands. Just be ready to receive. He loves you so much. He wants to make you more like him. If you just turn to him, repent, he wants to do that. I'm just gonna pray for us. God, thank you. God, thank you for this opportunity that we get to become more like you. God, we fall short every single day. We are never going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect image bearers of you. But God, I just pray that from this moment that you would slowly just keep shaping us. God, shape us to be more like you. Shape us to be more loving. Shape us to be more compassionate. Shape us to be slow to anger, God. Help us not to be a bad representation of you on this campus. God, I pray that as students walk out of here, God, that there would be something different about them, that a light would just radiate from them, God, that something would be different when people see them in their classes, that they would ask questions, that they would be confused as why they're so nice or why they're so caring. God, help us to be better representations of you. We fall so short, but we know that you want to help us. God, thank you. Thank you for tonight. God, I pray that if anyone's feeling shame right now for the mistakes that they've made, maybe they haven't honored you this week, maybe even today as they were on their way, they were just boiling with anger or bitterness or whatever it is. God, just cover them with your grace. Help them to remember that you are there for them, that you want to help them, God. Thank you so much, God. We just pray all this in your name. Let's go ahead and worship together.